Hello and welcome to Cinema Chat with David Heath, and I am the host of the podcast. My name is David Heath, and on this podcast we talk about movies from every genre and every era. And I want to thank you very much for joining me. We are going to have a discussion today about three movies from the 80s that are all about grifting, stealing, conning, you know, that kind of thing. And I just have three recommendations, and two of them are from the 80s. Actually, one of them is from 1990, but we'll go over them here and just kind of have a brief synopsis and talk just a little bit about each of the movies that I am recommending for you to watch. You could call them hidden gems. Some people out there maybe have seen them. We're going to try not to spoil anything because these are genuinely really good movies, and a lot of people haven't seen them. And so that is why your host is working for you, so you can find these things out too. Anyway, we got three movies, and the first one we're going to talk about is House of Games, and this would definitely be classified as a neo-noir. It is directed by David Mamet. It was his directorial debut, and of course, David Mamet wrote the screenplay as well, and pretty much anything you see that David Mamet writes is probably going to be a pretty good movie. And this movie stars Lindsay Krause, who is really not somebody that you might recognize in a write-off hand. She does have a fairly long filmography going back to All the President's Men in 1976. She was also in Places in the Heart. She was in The Verdict. And she's somebody that you might not actually recognize right off the bat. It does have Joe Mantegna as somebody that you would recognize pretty quickly. But the film came out in 1987, and it was a stage play, and it became a film. And on 1987, and it came out October of 87. The film is really all about a lady named Margaret Ford. She is a psychiatrist, and she wrote a book about obsessive compulsive disorder, and she's becoming kind of a name, but somehow she gets lured into a pool hall bar club, you know, some seedy, shady club. She ends up involved in a little web with Joe Mantegna's character. And the movie starts out with her supposedly helping him with win a poker game. And it all becomes this big movie where it's like, who's conning who in the movie, that kind of thing. And the film is just takes you through twists and turns that you don't really expect. There's a memorable sequence with J.T. Walsh, the great character actor, where death, or maybe supposed death, is involved. But there's lots of thievery, conning, lying, deceit, shady dealings, all kinds of, you know, terrible people. But it is delicious. House of Games is a movie that I highly recommend. I came to the party late with this film. I watched it for the first time just about 5 years ago, and I was really enthralled. And I guess it just kind of came out of that little time where I was a teenager and and this movie was over my head or whatever, but it was not one that that was my first thing to look at. But there's all kinds of trickery involved in this movie, and it's just so fun. Don't want to give away any of the cons or any of the real plot twists, because it's just it takes you down a path, a maze that you don't expect. And House of Games is a terrific movie, and it scores 91% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.2 on IMDb, and it has been described as intense, thrilling, psychological. It won some really good reviews, and it will throw you off balance. Roger Ebert called it diabolical and impeccable, and that's pretty good. Vincent Canby said it was a wonderful, wonderfully devious comedy. It's not really a comedy. Let's call it a noir, but there maybe are some funny elements to it. Definitely is a fun film. And I misspoke. Rotten Tomatoes, it's 97%. So, yeah, it's definitely a safe bet. The House of Games is a good movie to watch. And it is available as of this moment on Pluto, which is a free app. So you can watch it on Pluto. It has also been on Max. And, the thing is, if you're listening to my voice, it may have changed hands 3 or 4 times. I think it was actually on Criterion. Now that I think about it, I think it was on Criterion as well. If maybe it still is as I'm talking, I'm not sure, but the movies, they appear and reappear on different apps. And I always have a hard time telling people where to find a movie on the podcast, because you might listen to this a year later and maybe it's available somewhere different. So just, Google it and find it, and you will do it. Let's see. The next one is Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. This one also is another one that was on Pluto, and it's also on Tubi right now. But it's an absolutely fun film. You've got Michael Caine, who plays a big-time con artist. And you got Steve Martin, who is a small-time con artist. The film came out in 1988. It also stars Glenn Headley as the lady that is their target in the movie, the one they're trying to get $50,000 from. They have a bet. And the movie, this one is definitely a comedy, and it's just so funny. It's set on the French Riviera, and the whole idea is watching these guys try to snag $50,000 from a lady that they believe has the money to give away. And you see all kinds of, once again, trickery, deceit, lying. But this one is really, really funny. And it's just it's a really good comedy. You got Steve Martin, who pretends to be disabled and is in a wheelchair, and it brings all kinds of shenanigans. But it's directed by Frank Oz, who is best known for being a voice of Miss Piggy, Fozzie Bear, and Animal, and also the great Yoda. But he also has directed some movies, including The Muppets Take Manhattan and The Dark Crystal, What About Bob, In and Out, and Death at a Funeral, and Little Shop of Horrors. It's a pretty good little list of movies that he has directed. Let's see. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Glenn Headley is the lady in it, and unfortunately she passed away a while back, and I was really sad to see that. I did not even realize it, but the screenplay of this, curiously, Paul Henning has his hand in some of the screenplay, and you might wonder who Paul Henning is, but he is the guy that developed the TV shows The Beverly Hillbillies, Petticoat Junction, and Green Acres. It's a little bit of a different twist for him, but the movie has 89% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it scores 7.4 on IMDb. It is obviously a very well-liked movie. The scene with Steve Martin playing Ruprecht is, well, there's more than one scene. There's a couple of scenes where he plays Ruprecht, a guy that sometimes wears an eye patch, and he basically is playing somebody that is basically that has the maturity level of a 9-year-old, and it's just kind of fun to watch. And Steve Martin, one of the funniest men, in my opinion, that ever lived. He just is just he's just got a gift that not very many people else can claim. Excuse me, that was the MGM lion. Don't know how that happened, but anyway, and Michael Caine, of course, a great actor, and has a gift for comedy as well, albeit a lot more subtle. But he definitely has a gift for comedy. And Michael Caine just now retired at age 90, and Steve Martin is 78, and that begs the obvious question, where does the time go? But Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, a very funny movie, and this is Steve Martin. Steve Martining. Just that's such a great and lovable film. Even though the two guys are terrible people. And that leads us to our third film, which is a lot less well known, albeit you may have seen it. It is a Miramax film produced by Martin Scorsese. It's called The Drifters. Not the Drifters, the Grifters, excuse me, the Drifters. But it is directed by Stephen Frears, who, also directed in the 80s Dangerous Liaisons, which was just an excellent movie with a much different tone than this one. Music is by Elmer Bernstein, and that music, it becomes kind of important. This movie only made $13 million at the box office, but it is a terrific film. It stars John Cusack, Angelica Houston, and Annette Bening. And again, we have J.T. Walsh. And we also have Pat Hingle, the great character actor, Pat Hingle. Another great character actor, Henry Jones, shows up in this. Steven Tobolowsky, I can never say his name, but he is also in the film. Martin Scorsese appears in the movie himself too, matter of fact. But I want to call the Drifters again, the Grifters. The Grifters is, it basically has Angelica Houston, who plays the mother of John Cusack, and his girlfriend is played by Annette Bening, who is older than he is, but all three of them are grifters. They're always out to try to play a long con or a short one. And as a matter of fact, that was the sticky point with John Cusack. His mom wanted him to be in a con with her, a long con, and he didn't trust her. He said, "I only do short cons. I only work by myself." And so, but the movie, once again, lots of twists and turns. Don't want to give away any of the film, but it does take a few turns that you're just not obvious at all. And the film is, I would call this a straight neo-noir as well. The other movie we just talked about, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, is very light-hearted and fun, whereas The Grifters can sometimes be depressing. And there are definitely some light moments in it, but boy, this film does become very, very heavy and very thick in plot. You don't know who to trust. Annette Bening is just out of this world in this movie. She will cheat anybody, and so will John Cusack's mother. And Angelica Houston just absolutely delicious in this film. She just won't stop with the grift. You don't know when she's lying, when she's telling the truth. Some people are like that, where they tell the truth just enough where they're not predictable and you can't figure them out. And that's the way this movie is. Just a maze and a lot of fun. I did watch this on Max, and I assume it'll still be available for a while. Max has a tendency to keep movies on for a lot longer periods than some of the other apps. But anyway, we just had a short episode today. But these are three films that sometimes I want to do a whole episode on certain films, and then I realize that, hey, you know what? I can lump these things together and just have it be a good recommendation for people. When we get a big movie that everybody knows, like Casablanca, we can blow it out and we can do spoilers and stuff like that. But these three movies, I don't know that everybody's seen. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is the only one that really was a big hit out of the three. But all three are excellent films to watch, and I just wanted to recommend them. But if I did these all as a podcast episode individually, it would seem like I'm doing the same kind of movie. And so that's why I said, you know what? There's three movies that are really good, all kind of close to each other in time, and that's what I decided to do. But that plus the fact that my voice is giving way for some reason. I guess it's just that time of year. So I didn't feel like talking for a whole hour. But anyway, if you could, when you are listening to the podcast, if you could on the plot and the platform that you're listening to, if you're able to leave a review and leave me a 5-star review, that'd really be great. If you could do that, it helps a lot with the algorithms, and it will help the podcast grow and have more people, that are searching for these kinds of podcasts will find me a little quicker, and maybe more people will do it. And I found recently there's been a lot of people that have that I know. That maybe I don't know them real well, but I've had people approach me that I do know and tap me on the shoulder and say, "Hey, I listened to your episode, on such and such." And it just was a real refreshing thing to have. I've had at least three occasions where people told me that they listened to my podcast, when they're going to sleep at night because I have a gentle voice. And that was kind of nice. But anyway, well, thank you very much for listening today. This is David Heath, and it's Cinema Chat with David Heath, and I definitely appreciate you listening to me today.